Today's scripture comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. An expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live." But wanting to vindicate himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and took off, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came upon him, and when he saw him, he was moved with compassion. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, treating them with oil and wine. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
So as Kathy said, I'm the chancellor of the Rio, Texas Conference. So about last spring, then Bishop Snazy called me and asked me if I would take on this new role. And I didn't know a lot about the role. If you've been to annual conference, they have a big stage and the bishop's up there, and I knew the chancellor stood up there, and you know, if there's questions about parliamentary procedure, then the chancellor gets called on, or if there's questions about whether, you know, what we're doing violates the United Methodist Book of Discipline, that you might have to chime in. So I knew that, didn't know anything else. I talked to the bishop, I talked to my predecessor, Jay Brim, who is another lawyer here in town, and asked my wife about it and agreed to do it. So last year, Jay and I served as co-chancellors, and then this year I was voted or approved to go on to chancellor myself. And what I told annual conference, and I've been telling people, it's like every other job I've had in church, where they don't tell you all the stuff you're signing up to do until after the fact, including that you're gonna get a text from the pastor saying, "So does being the chancellor mean you have to preach when I'm gone?" And I'm guess it does. But when she did ask me, I did put the story of the Good Samaritan, told her that's what I wanted so that I could get dibs on it. And I had a sermon thoughts in mind, because like it's not lost on me that there are two targets in the story. There's the lawyer who is looking for the loopholes, and then there are the church leaders who are ignoring the person beat by the robbers as they cross by. Like I said, it's not lost on me that those are both me. I've got both those jobs. And I was going to talk about that, but frankly, I've scrapped it, because I am sad, and I am tired, and I am mad, and I am worn out. That everything we hear in the news today, the person in the spot of the robber is being downtrodden and beaten on more and more. You know, with immigrants, I'm sure all of us have our own ways that the new crackdown on immigrants as they're demonized has touched us. We have friends that are scared. We know people that are carrying passports around for the first time. We know people in our churches, I can tell you Methodist churches, have had people detained and deported. In our family, it touched us in a weird way. My daughter, she went to school in Los Angeles, and a video of her favorite fruit cart vendor went viral as he was beaten and tased and detained. Just as for our neighbors, we had our first client who was arrested at a hearing trying to do it the right way. And much of my time as chancellor has been talking to churches, trying to tell them what their rights are if ICE shows up during their services. For those least amongst us who rely on Medicaid as a lifeline for health care, that's being threatened. Racism is more prevalent and overt than any time I can remember in my life. And of course, the rights of women and our LGBT brothers and sisters are clearly going the wrong way. So what do we do? So this is apparently Guest Preacher Sunday, because you're stuck with me, but just down the street at University UMC, their guest preacher is Representative James Tallarico. A lot of you may know him. He's been here before for different events. And in the publicity they were sending out this week, they had this quote from him. And I told Kathy, I didn't see any publicity for you last week or for me or for John when he was preaching. But anyway, Representative Tallarico gets publicity. If you don't know Representative Tallarico, he's a former teacher, state representative. Now he attends seminary. And he said in their publicity, he said this, "You know what's interesting? Not once in the entire Bible does Jesus ask us to worship him. All he asks is that we follow him. Love like he loved. Love the outcast. Welcome the stranger. Feed the hungry. Heal the sick. Free the oppressed." In other words, be the Samaritan to our neighbors. And so I wanted to talk to you today about what I think is the most important thing that we can do to be those Samaritan now. I'm going to start with a quote. It's from one of my favorite theologians, and I only say this jokingly, the rock star Bono, lead singer of U2. About 20 years ago, Bono was the keynote speaker at the request of then-President Bush for the National Prayer Breakfast, and one of his lines has stuck with me since then, and it is this: "But the one thing we can all agree, all faiths, all ideologies, is that God is with the poor and the vulnerable. God is in the slums, in the cardboard boxes where the poor play house. God is in the silence of a mother who has infected her child with a virus that will end both their lives. God is in the cries heard under rubble of war. God is in the debris of wasted opportunities and lives. And God is with us when we are with them." God is with us when we are with them. Today, as those on the margins are demonized like never before, I think there is nothing more important than we can do than to physically be in relationship with those on the margins. And I know it's hard to get out of our comfort zones, to get out from people that are like us and believe like us and think like us and look like us, but I am convinced that the most important thing we can do is to go out and develop and be in relationship with people different from us. Share meals, share laughs, share tears, share stories. Truly be the neighbor to those on the margins. And I think, and Rachel Wright will tell you that I am no good at this, it is important to remember that it is important to be. We're not there with solutions. We're not there to be answering their problems. We're not there to be the hero. And in a Holy Spirit moment, I got another reminder of that this week. So at annual conference, which first couple of weeks in June, the bishops typically bring in a preacher to be the guest speaker to have teaching moments as parts of the sessions. And this year, they brought in a preacher from Florida named Michael Beck. And Reverend Beck is making the preaching circles because his tiny church in Ocala is well known for its ability to reach outside the doors and create community with people who wouldn't normally come into the church. At annual conference, he talked about their tattoo parlor church, where they're there every week sharing with others, nursing home church, Bibles and burritos, which we ought to try, and they even have dog park church, where he said the spirited discussion is started every week with the conversation, "If God was a dog, what breed would he be?" But as part of that, since he was the speaker, they gave us a free copy of his book, and I'm all about free stuff, and I'm all about books, and I was reading it this week, and this line stood out. We usually show up on the scene with our head and our hands full, thinking we have the answers and solutions for those we are sent to. The Jesus posture requires humility, mutuality, and listening. We need the people we are sent to more than they need us. And that resonated with me. As I said, I am not good about listening and not trying to be the one with the answers to whatever problems they had. But it also resonated with me because I do truly believe that we need to be the relationship with the people on the margins. It is my belief that that is a critical part of all of our faith journeys. One of the other theologians I really like is Father Greg Boyle, and many of you know him. Taylor quotes him all the time. If you don't know him, Father Boyle is a Jesuit priest in Los Angeles. And at the height of all of the LA gang wars, he was appointed to a tiny parish that was directly in the center of all of the gang fighting. In his little church, led by the laity, I might add, decided that they wanted to minister with the gang members. And their actions have grown to Homeboy Industries, which is now the largest gang intervention program in the world. And I am a Father Boyle junkie. I have read all his books, most of them multiple times. I watch his speeches on YouTube. I have gone to hear him speak live. He went to my daughter's campus in LA. I made her go watch him speak live. And I have visited Homeboy multiple times. And I tell people the last time we got to go in his office, he was not there. And I might have thefted a few of his business cards that are displayed in our house. And if you've read any of his stuff, he emphasizes the need and the importance of being in kinship with those in the margins and talking and developing relationships. And a lot of it stands out, but there's one quote that he's had that stands out and held with me, and I'll paraphrase. But he says, "We don't go to the margins to make a difference, but we go because the people on the margins make us different." And that is not a unique thing to Father Boyle or Catholics or Jesuits. But that was a core belief of John Wesley, the founder of Methodism. He believed that it was an important part of our faith journey that we go and we spend time with the poor and get to know them. And there's a famous series of letters that he shared with a poor woman, Miss J.C. Marsh, who is now an example. But she was complaining about her lack of spiritual life and her problems in having consciousness of faith. And John Wesley was in Europe and she was still back here and they're exchanging letters. And Wesley writes her, "Go see the poor and sick in their own poor little hovels. Take up your cross, woman. Remember the faith. Jesus went before you and will go with you. Put off your gentlewoman. You bear a higher character. You are an heir of God." And her words were not enough because she continued to have this consciousness and these crises of faith. And they continued to share correspondence. And finally, Wesley writes her back with little patience. "I find time to visit the sick and the poor, and I must do it if I believe the Bible. I am concerned for you. I am sorry you should be content with lower degrees of usefulness and holiness than you were called to." Even Wesley knew that it was critical to be in relationship with others as part of our faith. And I am proud to be a part of a church that thinks it's important to foster those relationships and that creates opportunities for those relationships. We've got a group of youth and adults now that are coming back from Appalachia where they have spent time and got to know people with very different lives than what we live. For the 45th year in a row, I think this year it was. We've got At the Well. We have the Tuesday, Thursday breakfast, Christmas Eve brunch, mobile loaves and fishes, Pickle Elementary if you want to get to know kids and teachers and staff that are different from us, Parker Lane and Foundation Communities, Community First, and so much more. And as we have conversations about what we should do now And as we have groups having conversations about what the future of this church looks like, including the future of our buildings, I hope we'll always remember that the most important stuff is not what goes in here, although it's important, but it's when we are out there, when we are the Samaritans to our neighbors, and we are going and doing likewise. Amen.